Ezra, we're going to start off here. It's going to be a topical style message this evening, Ezra chapter number 9. Ezra chapter number 9, in our men's prayer meetings on Saturday mornings, I encourage you to come out to those. You gentlemen, they start at 8:30, and they usually last about 9:30. It's before we go out on visitation, and it's a good time to bear one another's burdens. We break up into groups of two, sometimes three. And the challenge, one of the things I enjoy best is just spending a little bit of time with them and the church family and carrying one another's burdens and spending some time just praying for each other. It's encouragement. We do have a corporate time of prayer. We do have a short, very short devotion. It's supposed to last 5 to 7 minutes, and depending on who the speaker is, it usually does. Sometimes it gets a little bit longer. But for about 7 weeks, I decided, and we were doing this together, to read through a small book called Revival Praying. And the Revival Praying, that we take a small section each week and we look at it. It's by Evangelist Scott Pauley. If you're interested in reading, I do have some extra copies, and someday some other groups might go through it, just because it's an encouragement, it's a help. And when I was reading the section this past week, these verses came up about a different topic, but the Lord kind of spoke to my heart. Well, I didn't kind of. He spoke to my heart about a couple things. And tonight's message is called the word ashamed. Ashamed. You're going to see here in a little bit that Ezra was ashamed because of the sins of his nation, where he didn't even want to lift his head up to God. And he ashamed and he blushed, and the thought of how wicked his nation had become, and he was praying to God. And he wasn't even saying their sins, he was saying our sins, and he was heartbroken for his nation so much that he was ashamed to even go to God. And it's a powerful prayer. We're not going to spend a lot of time there, but I want to set that foundation, and it's going to be a topical message talking about things that we as believers do not need to be ashamed of, and also making sure we're not ashamed at certain times. So let's go ahead and jump in here in Ezra chapter number 9. We'll start in verse number 1. Now these things were done. The princes came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers have been chief in this trespass. So the princes have come and said to him, hey, look, your people, God's people. And he, once again, Ezra is talking about building the altar. Ezra is talking about getting things right and trying to bring Jerusalem back. And it's a wonderful book. But he hears about this sin. Look at his response. And when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle. Now, look at this next phrase. He said, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard and sat astonished. When I read that yesterday, I said, for some of you guys, it wouldn't be too hard to pluck the hair off your head. They didn't think it was funny, because they didn't have very much hair. But it was a joke. But think about the remorsefulness there, the heartbrokenness that this man is renting his garments and his mantle and plucking off his hair, his head and his beard. He sat astonished. Then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of God of Israel. It's amazing, those that care about the words of the Lord, that they're coming together to pray. Because of the transgressions of those that had been carried away, I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. Verse number 5, and at the evening sacrifice I rose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. Now, if you can just picture the humbleness that's there and as he's praying, and listen to the prayer. We're only going to do verse number 6. Once again, you could continue on, you could have a couple messages out of the passage, but we don't want to get too far into it for sake of staying on track. But he says, and he said, oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up unto the heavens. I see this, and I see a man who loves the Lord, a man who loves his nation, sees the sin of his nation, and he says, I'm even ashamed to come back to you again. I'm ashamed to even lift up my face. Now, he is a merciful God. He is a gracious God. But have you ever been ashamed of something? I know I have. I mean, maybe you guys are all perfect, and maybe you never done anything that you hung your head to. But there's been plenty of times I've been ashamed because I deserve to be ashamed. And there's been some times in my life that I've been ashamed when I really didn't need to be ashamed. And I'd like to think about that a little bit. If you want to, take your Bible over to Jeremiah chapter number 6. Jeremiah chapter number 6. A whole different picture, a whole different story. I understand that it's from a different time period in the land of Israel. It's a time period before captivity, and Ezra was the time period afterwards. I understand all that. But in Jeremiah chapter number 6, it's found in verse number 15. The exact same verse is found in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse number 12. And it speaks about how the nation at this point in time had done abominations, and they were not ashamed. Look what it says in Jeremiah chapter number 6. Look what it says in verse number 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. You see, two completely different stories. You have in Ezra chapter number 9, a man who is heartbroken for his nation, praying to God and saying, God, I'm even ashamed to have to come back to you again. And sometimes, I don't know, that's been me when it comes to a certain sin, or when I fall in, I have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for being merciful. Thank you for being gracious. I'm sorry I've done this again, Lord. I'm ashamed of myself, and I don't want to do this again. Lord, please help me. And you see the contrition, you see the broken heart, the broken spirit of Ezra, and you go to Jeremiah chapter number 6, you see something completely different. You have a group of people who are doing abominations. Once again, Ezra is not taking part of these abominations. He's praying for his nation. He does call it our iniquities because he knows he's part of this nation, and he wants to pray that this nation would get right. And then he comes, and you see the nation is being described in Jeremiah. Yes, a different time period, but what got them in trouble was they committed abomination, and they were not ashamed at all. And I think we stand in a time period, and the day we live in, there's not much blush left out there for many people, that they're not ashamed of what they're doing. Not only are they not ashamed, they're trying to jam it down people's throats and saying, you must accept this, no matter what God's word says. And there's a difference between a believer that loves God and is ashamed because of the sins of its people, and then you got a nation over here who doesn't even care, who's coming to the point and saying, were they ashamed? And the answer was no. He says, when they had committed the abomination, nay, they were not ashamed, neither could they blush. And you say, well, how do we make this appropriate today, and how do we apply it? And there's a lot of different ways, but the avenue I want to go today is, have you ever been ashamed? And is there something in your life you should be ashamed of right now and you should get right with God? There's something in your life that you've been allowing to happen, and like it says here in Jeremiah, not bothering you at all. That's a problem. That's something that needs to be dealt with. And that's something that many times people, because they have allowed their sin and they see other people to do it and they've been doing it for so long, no longer are they heartbroken, no longer are they repentful, no longer are they seeing God work and move in their life. The word ashamed means to feel shame. Don't you love it when somebody describes the definition of a word using the portion of the word? You're like, okay, what does that mean? And I think most of us know what the word shame means, but it means embarrassed or guilty because of one's actions, characteristics, or associations. Even the idea of disgraced, having fallen from favor or position of power or honor, discredited because of something you've done. And I've been around church for a long time. I grew up in a Christian home where I went to a Christian school for most of the years. I went to school from K-5 all the way to 12th, and no, I didn't fail any of the times. Probably a couple of times I got close. I did go to the public school for 1 year. And I remember different times in my life as a believer, as a youngster. I got saved at what I consider an early age, around 8 or 9 years old, and always was involved in church. And I go back and I look at my life and I think, man, there's some things I wish I'd never done. some things I wish I'd never seen, some things I wish I'd never been a part of, things that I would be ashamed even to talk about. But then I also remember there was times in my life as a believer that I was ashamed of God. What do you mean? As a young person, going out into the workforce, out into a public workforce, public school, our opportunity is to stand for God and, you know, to be ashamed of Him. But there were times when I was ashamed. I didn't want to have a bold witness. You said, Pastor, you're just a kid. Well, that's what I want to look at tonight a little bit. If there is some type of shame in your life, get it right with the Lord. It's the best thing you can do. Confess and forsake, that's when you find mercy. If there's something going on, fix it. But tonight, I want you to think about times that we should not be ashamed as believers. Times we should not be ashamed as believers. I think growing up, I was not as sheltered as I would like to have been. Back then, of course, I didn't know that. What do you mean by sheltered? Growing up in a home that went to a Christian school and went to a really good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, there were certain things that people out there in the world, kids out in the world, could do that I would never have been allowed to do. There were certain restrictions. Looking back then, I was thinking, boy, those are goofy. Looking back now, I wish they would have been a lot stronger. I wish they would have been, hey, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, to help protect and save me from some of the heartache I learned. But I remember going to the public school for the first time. It was a time when I was going blind in one of the eyes. I had a lot of medical bills, and they put me on steroids to reduce the swelling of my ocular. So in the fifth grade is when it was happening, and I was always an athlete growing up. I know you can tell that from my wonderful physique and everything, but I was an athlete growing up. I was playing baseball, soccer, was really actually pretty good at soccer back then. And when I took those steroids, it took me from like 90 pounds up to like 150. And boy, I was big. And so I went to public school for the first time, and I was ashamed at times. People sometimes will cause you to be shamed about, hey, you don't know this, or you don't do that, or different things like that. And I forgot the importance of, you know what, there's some things in this world I don't need to be ashamed of. There's certain things I wish I would never heard or listened to or been a part of. But instead of standing up and saying, you know, this is what I believe, this is what the Bible teaches, it was a hard year for me, and there are a lot of things I just kind of stepped back and said, nope, I'm just going to do what everybody else does. Just going to follow along. And instead of being ashamed of the fact that I had never looked at certain things or never listened to certain things, I should have been willing to say, hey, I'm not ashamed of doing what's right. And I don't care how old or how young you are, you never have to be ashamed of doing what's right. And the Bible tells us here, there's some things in here that what we should not be ashamed of as believers. And I'd like to go over some of those. And then there's at the end, there are some times where we want to make sure that we're not ashamed when this happens. So the first thing is, and the first thing that might even come to your mind is Romans 1:16. We should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We should never be ashamed of the gospel. People will try to put you to shame, and people will try to say, hey, that's your way. And they will try to be shameful for the fact that you believe in a God, but think about what the gospel has done for you. If you're a believer here today, you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you should never be ashamed of the fact that it was that power of the gospel that saved us. It was the fact that He was willing to come to this world and willing to die for us and was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. We should never be ashamed to tell somebody else about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Scriptures are saying. He says, for I am not ashamed. That's one thing we never have to be ashamed of. Another thing we never have to be ashamed of is when we are trusting God. Some people will mock you. Some people, they will say, oh, what are you doing? Trusting the Lord. Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And you say, I'm just trusting in the Lord. And the Bible says, hey, oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. If you're trusting in the Lord for a certain matter, a certain thing, don't let the people of the world that do not know God, and don't even let the people of God who are not right with you, make you feel bad because you're following after the Lord. You don't have to be anything ashamed of if you're trusting in the Lord. Similar passage, it talks about not being ashamed when we're waiting in the Lord. Psalms 25:3 says, "Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause." In Psalms, he's saying, hey, don't let anything make you ashamed if you're waiting on God. And you're going to have people out there. You just say, hey, I'm waiting on the Lord. People are going to be, well, what are you doing? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? You don't have to be ashamed. If you're following the Lord and you're waiting on God, it's okay. Other people might not understand. Other people might try to disgrace you. Other people might try to embarrass you. Say, well, what are you waiting on? Why don't you just go ahead and do it? You know this is what you're going to do anyway. You don't have to listen to them. You don't have to be ashamed of waiting on God. You don't have to be ashamed of fellow believers. There's a couple of different times in the Bible that it speaks about this in Hebrews, but the one I chose is in 2 Timothy 1:16. It says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chain." That is Paul writing to Timothy, talking about Onesiphorus and saying, you know what? He was not ashamed of me. There's people out there that were ashamed of me for my chain, for being in bonds for the cause of Christ, but you shouldn't have to be ashamed of fellow believers. If you know, you see somebody out in the community, I remember as a child or as a teenager, and I was around some people that maybe didn't go to church, and maybe my pastor would come up or my youth pastor would come up, I'd kind of be shying away from them because I didn't want them to know that I was going to church. You shouldn't be ashamed of your church family. Now, sometimes they might act a little goofy, and sometimes they might be a little bit different or a little bit weird, but they're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that hey, this is my pastor. This is my youth pastor. This is the guy I go to church with. This is the guy that teaches my Sunday school class. We shouldn't be ashamed of them. We sometimes they might act shamefully, but hopefully not. But we shouldn't be ashamed of a brother. And it even speaks about that in Hebrews also. Another time we should not be ashamed is if we suffer for Christ. Sometimes people think that if you are put through a hardship or put through a trial, that you've done something wrong. But they forget New Testament Christianity, because how many times were these disciples punished, put through trials, put through tribulation? Paul writing from in prison, Peter writing in 1 Peter, he writes, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." If you're suffering as a believer for doing something that is right, you don't have to be ashamed of it. Just because you're going through something that's hard, just because you might be going through something difficult, don't feel like you've done something wrong. If you're doing it for the cause of Christ, he says, let him glorify God on this behalf. Don't feel like just because you're suffering for Christ's sake, that you've done something that, no. And I'm not saying you're boastful about it. I'm not saying, hey, look at me and try to draw attention to that. But as you're suffering and you're going through the trial and you're going through the circumstances, multiple times in scriptures it talks about if you're suffering for the cause of Christ, glorify God with it. Let God get the glory out of it. Don't run away from it. Don't be ashamed of it. Face it, because you're doing what God's called you to do. 2 Timothy 1:12 even puts it this way. "For the which cause I offer suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and persuaded, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." What the scripture is saying there, even though he was suffering certain things, he says, I'm not going to be ashamed. I don't have to be ashamed because I'm suffering something because of the fact that God has put something in my life. That is a trial. That is a tribulation. A second thought I want you to consider for a little while is there's some times we want to make sure we're not going to be ashamed. There's some times where we're going to make sure that we're not going to be ashamed. First one that comes to my mind is found in at its appearing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, the Bible says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence." And listen to this last phrase, "and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Bible's talking about when Christ is going to return, whether it's there in the, what's he going to find you doing at the rapture? When he is calling you home to meet him in the sky, are you going to be ashamed of what you were doing? I tell you, there are times when I'm thankful God didn't come back at a certain time, because I would have been ashamed. I don't want to be that way. We need to prepare. And the Bible says we're supposed to be ready. The Bible says we're supposed to be watching. The Bible says that we're supposed to occupy till we come. The Bible says that we're supposed to be using our talents and our ability. The Bible talks about all the different things we're supposed to do as believers while we're waiting for him to come. We are preparing right now for the day we're going to meet him. And if he came back today, would we be ashamed because of what we've been doing? That our hearts are not right. He said, of course not, Pastor. Well, that's the thing. If he came back today, is there something you would do differently? If you knew he was coming back tomorrow, is something you would do differently today? Is there something you would get right? Someone you would talk to? Some letter you might write? Some phone call you might make? We don't want to be ashamed at his appearing or at his coming. Someday we will give an account. Make sure we can do it without being ashamed. Another thing when you don't want to be ashamed is of his word. You don't want to be ashamed of his word. 2 Timothy 2:15 puts it this way. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. There's people in this world that try to make you feel ashamed about being a Bible believer. You don't have to be ashamed. This is God's word. This is the word of God. This is truth. People may belittle you. People might question you. People might mock you. They might try to make you feel embarrassed because you're a Bible believer, but you have nothing to be embarrassed by. This is God's preserved word. It is God's word for us today. And you do not have to say you're sorry for it. You do not have to say you're sorry for believing it. You do not have to say you're sorry for following in it. You should never be ashamed of his word, and we should make sure that we have studied it so that way we can have an answer. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so the Bible's saying there, always be ready to give an answer. You say, Pastor, I don't always know the answer. God does. And if we're spirit-filled, he will give us the right thing to say. And there is no shame in saying, I need to study that out. I need to learn that. I need to understand more. But you never have to be ashamed of believing in the Bible. And there are people out there in the world today that will mock you. There are people out there in the world today that will question you. I remember teenage boy at 14 going to work at Golden Corral as a dishwasher. And I went back there and you wash all those dishes. I worked with people that were live-in workouts. What is that? A guy who lives in prison and gets to go to work. And they worked back there in the cooks and also washing dishes. And they didn't give me too hard of a time because they knew if they gave people a hard time, they would ship them back to prison. They couldn't do that. But the people I worked with that were my age, people that were... It was really one of my first opportunities to spend hours by myself without my parents or other believers around. And there's people who made me feel ashamed of being a Christian. Why is that? Because I didn't study to show myself approved. It's because I didn't want to take a stand. I wasn't prepared and ready for that. I just wanted to fit in. I just wanted to be like everyone else. And I look back on those days and I think how ashamed I was. I shouldn't be. You don't have to be. You don't have to be like the world. God hasn't created us to conform to the image of the world. God loves us and designed us, and he has set us apart on purpose not to look like the world and not to act like the world. And we do not have to be ashamed that we believe in his word. We need to learn how to study it. We need to learn how to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, that we learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. And that we will always be ready to give an answer. Yes, it's in meekness, and yes, it's in fear. But God's word is true, and we should study it. We should seek God, and we should never, ever be ashamed that I am a Bible-believing Christian. I remember those times and those days that I stepped back and didn't stand. There were plenty of times when I did stand up. There were plenty of times I said the things that were difficult. Plenty of times where I talked to people about my faith. But I also remember some of those times I was ashamed. I remember some of those times I sat quietly when the Holy Spirit was saying, you can say something here. You need to say something here. And I was ashamed. And I want to encourage you tonight as believers, don't be ashamed of the Bible. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed if you're learning to trust in him. Don't be ashamed if you're learning to wait on him. Don't be ashamed if you're suffering or going through a hardship because of the word of God. Those are nothing that should bring yourself shame to. Now, if you have some type of sin in your life that you need to get right, That's a shame. That is something you don't want to be like those in Jeremiah that had done the abominations. Were they ashamed of it? No, they weren't. They couldn't even blush. They had done it for so long. They kept on doing it and kept on doing it and kept on doing it to where it didn't bother men anymore and didn't even bat an eye at it anymore. And these were God's chosen people. They had gone so far and done so much wrong that they thought, who cares? That's a very dangerous place to be. If that's where you're at in something in your life, be ashamed of that. You don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. You don't have to be ashamed of trusting in Him. You don't have to be ashamed of waiting on Him. You don't have to be ashamed of fellow believers. You don't have to be ashamed of these other things. Don't let the devil try to rob you of your joy and the confidence you can have in Christ. Don't ever be ashamed of the fact that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Make sure you're ready that when He returns that you're serving Him and that you won't be ashamed that He caught you doing something you know that would displease Him, that He caught you doing something you know that you shouldn't have been doing. I used to, when I managed the warehouse at the bookstore, it was a 24-hour shift, and I used to come in unannounced at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I caught some people doing things that they shouldn't have been doing, and they were like those people in Israel. Oh, well, I shouldn't have done that. They didn't care. And there are other people who were sorrowful and said, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. You know, please forgive me. I won't do it again. And how do you react to your sin? If you have something there, deal with it. Let God do something in your heart. I was reading through Psalms 51, and I see David broken hearted over that sin and talking about how his bones, he wanted to restore the joy of his salvation, how miserable it was to sit there and live in that sin and deal with that sin. You know, we should be ashamed of it. We should want to get it right. But you don't have to be ashamed of certain things. The Bible says, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." Those are in Psalms 119. We've been going to that series in Psalms 119 on Wednesday nights. It says, "When I understand and I respect God's commandments, I have nothing to be ashamed of. I can stand boldly and speak the truth of the word of God because I have rightly divided the word of truth, and I do not have to be ashamed. I don't care who I'm talking to." Even says, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. He says, it doesn't matter who the person is. Doesn't matter if it's the president of the United States, the vice president of the United States, the king of somewhere else, or some dictator. They all know, they all need the truth just like everybody else does. We should not be ashamed to speak to anybody about the truth. But there were days that I was ashamed. And I regret those days. Praying that there'll never be a day like that again. So I want to encourage you tonight. There are some things that we should be ashamed about. There are some things we should get right. And if it's under the blood and you've gotten it right, then praise the Lord. The devil's the one that offers you the guilt. The Lord offers the one that's hope. He doesn't remember that anymore, and we're thankful for that. We remember it. We bring it up, and we deal with it. And we, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like we're saved, doesn't feel like we've been dealt with, the Lord says, the Bible says, it has been dealt with. But if there's something in our life that we should deal with, get it right. And then don't be ashamed of certain things. I love this thing in Ezra when he says, "Oh my God, I am ashamed and blushed to lift up my face to thee, my God." He was so ashamed of the sins of his people that he didn't even want to come to him again. He was ashamed of that, but he knew he needed to. Listen to that humbleness and that contrite spirit there. How often have we been that about our own sin, much less the sin of our churches? Much less the sin of our people. Let's seek God's heart. There are certain things that we should be ashamed of, but believe me, there are certain things we should not be ashamed of. Tonight, make sure that you're not ashamed of the gospel. Make sure you're not ashamed when you're trusting the Lord and when you're waiting on Him. And make sure you're not ashamed of fellow believers that are trying to do the right thing. Make sure you're not ashamed when you're suffering for Christ's sake. Make sure you study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. I've been put to shame before when somebody's having a conversation and they twist around what the Bible says and they try to do things and I didn't have the answer. Hung my head a couple times in the past a while ago, but hung the head in the past because I didn't know the Bible and I should have known better. I should always be ready to give an answer. And if I don't know that answer, I don't need to be ashamed of this. This has a truth in it. Just because I might not know it doesn't mean it doesn't have it. I don't have to be ashamed of the Word of God. You're one of those Bible believers. I am. You believe that thing's true. I sure do, from the beginning to the end. And I'm not going to be ashamed of that. And I don't have to be ashamed of that. I don't have to want to be ashamed when he comes back. I pray that that would be the same thought tonight for you. Is there something I'm doing right now that I would be ashamed that Jesus came back while it was happening? Let's pray.